We're going to be looking at John chapter 21 this morning. And John chapter 21 gives us a lot of insight into the relationship between Jesus and Simon Peter. And I think there's a lot, there's certainly a lot that I've learned from it as I've looked through it. And I think we can all learn something from it as we look at it this morning. A bit of background to chapter 21. Most of us know the story, I'm sure. Before the last time that Simon Peter and Jesus met was before, or that they actually talked on their own, was before the crucifixion. They had a bit of time together after the crucifixion, but not on their own. So the last big event in their relationship was that Peter had denied Jesus. And, you know, so obviously that is a significant event. And they hadn't had a chance to clear the air about that. And so as we look through the chapter, John chapter 21, we need to bear that in mind. This is the first time they've had a chance to really start to clear the air. But we're going to start in Luke chapter 5, because you need more background. We always need the context of what's happening. And in Luke chapter 5, and I'm not going to read it, I'm just going to tell you, but you can read it and make sure I'm telling the truth. That's always a good thing. In Luke chapter 5, at the beginning of the chapter, we find the first time that Jesus and Peter met. Except that he wasn't called Peter then, he was called Simon. So it's going to be confusing, because I might keep talking about Simon and then about Peter, and you never know, is he talking about the same person here? Yes, is the answer. So in Luke chapter 5, Jesus is starting his ministry, and there's a whole crowd of people, and he's standing right next to the water, and rather than get pushed into the water, he borrows a boat as his pulpit, and he happens to borrow Simon Peter's boat. And so he preaches to the people, teaches them, and then after that, he told Simon and his companions to go fishing. And they said, well, you know, we've been fishing, it didn't work. They were fishermen, but it was one of those days that fishermen don't like to talk about, where they didn't catch anything. And so Simon told Jesus, you know, you said we should go fishing, okay. Yeah, I've listened to you preach. You know, you're not bad at preaching. Let's see how you are at catching fish. And they caught so many fish. And Peter was overwhelmed. Or Simon, Peter was overwhelmed. And Simon's response to Jesus at that time was, leave me alone, because I'm a sinner. We don't know what Peter had done, or Simon had done. We have no idea. The Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about Simon before he knew Jesus. But his understanding of himself was that he was a sinner. And he told Jesus, because he saw the power that Jesus had, he said, leave me alone. You don't want to be near me because I'm a sinner. And I wonder where we are today. There might be people here that think the same thing. That somehow that God is so holy and so powerful and so different from us that our response to him is, leave me alone because I'm a sinner. What are you ashamed of? What are you ashamed of that makes you think that God couldn't love you? All of us have things in our lives that, you know, we'd rather not talk about. And, you know, maybe there's people here today that are thinking that way. Maybe you're one of those people who thinks, you know what, I'd like to come to God, but I need to clean house first. I need to do some housekeeping. Yeah, I need to clean the rooms. I need to maybe, I'll stop a particular sin. And once I've managed to stop that sin long enough, then I'll come to God. That's what we see Peter doing. He says, no, leave me alone, for I am a sinful man. But Jesus didn't listen to Simon. Instead, he changed his name and he gave him a job to do. So I wonder again for us, as we come to God, as we maybe resist him in some way, is God asking something of us? Is Jesus giving us a job to do that we're not sure that we can do? And so Jesus insisted on staying around with Simon. They hung out together for 3 years. And so now we're going to fast forward and we're going to start reading in John chapter 21. And it says this, starting in verse 1. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. So now we find what's happened is that, you know, Jesus had died and he was resurrected, and the disciples knew that he was resurrected. They'd seen him already, but they had nothing to do. It's like, oh, this is really exciting. And it was, obviously, it was an extremely emotional time for them. But then nothing was happening. And so Peter did what any self-respecting man does. He went fishing. And as is often the case with fishing, he caught nothing. He went back to what he knew how to do. He went back just to the status quo because he was comfortable with that. And he was looking for something just to take his mind off, the fact that, well, yeah, Jesus has risen from the dead, but now what are we supposed to do with that? I don't know about you, but I find myself sometimes doing the same sort of thing. I'm not sure quite what I'm supposed to do, and so I just go back to the status quo. Maybe sometimes we feel sad. We might feel upset or annoyed at things, and so we do different things to take our mind off of that sadness, off of that irritation. We watch films. We might go fishing. We play games. We just entertain ourselves, different things. But we find over time that those things don't satisfy. And that's what we see here with the disciples. They went fishing, but they came up completely empty. They had nothing. So I'm assuming it was dark still. I mean, it says in the Bible that it was very early in the morning. So I'm assuming it was still quite dark. That time of day where you can't really see clearly in the distance. And so they didn't recognize Jesus. And even when he shouted to them, they didn't recognize his voice. So he shouted to them and said, just throw the net out on the other side of the boat. So they did, not really knowing who it was or why he was telling them what to do. And the result, again, was a huge catch of fish. And suddenly John realizes, you know, probably the bell started going off. This is Jesus. And so he says, it's the Lord. He cries out. And I want us to think just, you know, briefly here, at the difference between Peter's reaction now and the reaction in Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, he was in the boat with Jesus and he said, Lord, you know, keep away from me. I'm a sinful man. Now he's in the boat and he's out. He's 100 yards or so out in the water. And John says, it's Jesus. And Peter's immediate reaction is to swim ashore and to see Jesus. Now think about this. As I mentioned at the beginning, Peter and Jesus hadn't had the opportunity to clear the air. Okay? In Jesus and Peter's first meeting, Peter had said, or Simon at that time had said, leave me alone, for I'm a sinful man. Now, Peter knew he was a sinful man. Peter knew that he had done something directly against Jesus. And yet his reaction was to jump in the water and swim to shore and leave everybody else to deal with the fish. What had changed? They had walked together, they had talked together for 3 years. And during that time, Peter had said some really stupid things. He'd done some really silly things, and he'd also said some really profound things. His journey with Jesus had deepened. That relationship with Jesus had deepened and strengthened to the point now where when Peter recognized that he needed forgiveness, he went straight to Jesus. He didn't say, oh, no, I can't do that. He ran straight to Jesus and he wasn't disappointed. I wonder, how well do you know Jesus? How do you react when you know you've done something wrong? Yeah, what's your, if you like, your immediate response? Do you continue to say to Jesus, leave me alone, I'm a sinner, when you know that you've sinned? Or do you run to him, jump out of the boat, swim to him, and experience that forgiveness? I don't know about you, but for me, I spent a long time feeling like God, you know, was somehow looking down, waiting for me to make mistakes. You know, this disapproving look, silently fuming over the sins that I was committing. And I don't know if you feel the same way. But God's not like that. Jesus didn't do that with Peter. And he doesn't do that with us. And we can learn from Peter. We can learn from what he says, what he did. And we can follow him in that sense. Most importantly, I think, over the years, what Peter learned was that Jesus loved him. And he loved him just as he was. He loved him unconditionally. And he showed that to Peter through so many different situations. And then, in this case, he continued to love him. Just a couple of weeks ago, the Iski people in Papua New Guinea heard the gospel for the first time ever. And here are some of the things that they've said. You know, as they hear about what Jesus has done for them, what God has done in saving them. Leo, one of the people, says, God's love, God's mercy, it's very big for me. God is love and we cannot love more than him. He is not like us and we're not like him. I'm thinking about that and it's very important to me. Now I'm like a baby that got born under God. I'm in his hands. I have no strength to grow. And this lady called Prisca wrote this. Before I used to try to go to God with, or she said this, and the missionaries translated it. Before I used to try to go to God with my own strength. Before I could not kill my own sins. I tried, but I could not. I was like a blind pig in the pig's fence since my mother gave birth to me. I could not do anything good, only bad things. I was in the pig's fence and you missionaries were out. For a while, I thought that you would be the ones getting us out of it. But now I understand that there's only one way and that Jesus is the one saving us. I heard the story of Adam and of the promised Savior. I heard that Jesus suffered and died for me. He got me out of that fence, took my sin and put me in his good fence, and the bad smell is over. Now I'm clean in God's eyes. Now the door of the road that goes to God is open and I can go to him. Sometimes when we've been saved for a while, that excitement, that sense of awe at all that God has done can wane. It can get a little thin. And when that happens, I think we need to take a few moments just to think about where we would be without him. Okay, back in John chapter 21, we're going to read verses 15 to 17. It says this, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. So now what we see is after breakfast, Jesus and Peter have a little chat. Now, we don't know if this was a private conversation. Obviously, John heard it because he wrote it down for us. But we don't know if all the disciples were listening in to this conversation or if it was just Peter and John and Jesus. But Jesus asked Peter three times if he loved him. And Peter kept saying, yes, yes. And obviously there's some significance there to the three denials and the three questions here. But what I want to look at is the fact that every time that Peter responded, every time that he said, yes, you know that I love you, Jesus gave him a job to do. He gave him something to do. He said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. I don't know about you, but that isn't what we tend to do with failures. Yeah, as people, we look at their track record. We say, you know what, I'm not sure if we can really trust them to do that. And yet, Jesus entrusted his own sheep to Peter. Yeah, we're more inclined to say, no, he's not, he's untrustworthy. We'll look for somebody else. But Jesus didn't do that. And again, I ask, how well do we really know Jesus? You know, do we think that maybe we're untrustworthy, that maybe we're just not quite up to the standard that we need to be? And yet here he is saying to Peter, feed my sheep, take care of my flock. It shouldn't surprise us though, because if we look through the Old Testament, we see all sorts of examples of God doing the same thing. Just a couple of examples. Samuel didn't give David a second look. Didn't even know he existed for a while. And then when he saw him, he was like, who is this guy? But God told him, told Samuel, you know, you're looking at the outward appearance. I'm looking at the heart. Okay? But as you go through David's life, you wonder what it is that God saw. Because because David went on in his life to lie, to cheat, to steal, to murder, to commit adultery, and he was an awful parent. So what was it that he saw? What did God see in David? He saw that David loved him. And he described him as a man after my own heart. That relationship was everything, and God continued to use David throughout his life, in spite of all those failings. I don't know about you, that's an encouragement to me. Samson is another one that would take a long time to go through all of Samson's failings. But there were lots of them, and yet God continued to use him throughout his life. So we find that God not only restores us, he forgives us and he restores us, but he actually then gives us something to do. He gives us a job to do. He makes us useful. And we all want to feel useful. This is a truly win-win situation because God gives us a job to do. He gives us the strength to do it. And when we eventually get to heaven, he gives us prizes for having done it. I mean, if that's not a deal, nothing is. Okay, let's move on. In verses 18 and 19 of the same chapter. Jesus is continuing to talk to Peter. He's just given him that job to do. And he says, very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. It's like he's just done a switch or something here. You know, he starts off, he says, yeah, feed my sheep. Take care of my flock. And then he says, and when you're old, it's going to get really hard and you're going to die in a not happy way. It just doesn't seem nice, really, does it? Almost. It's like, is this really the same encouraging phrase here or idea? But we need to step back a bit and look at it just briefly. And Peter helps us with that new perspective in his first letter, well, in both letters that he wrote. In the first one, in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 6, Peter says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And then if we go into 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 3, we read, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. So God has done everything necessary for us to get to heaven, and He's prepared all sorts of good things for us to do here. What we go through in this life, the suffering we go through in this life, pales into insignificance compared to what God has prepared for us in the future. And yet God makes us useful and fit for purpose in this life. Now, I don't know about you, and obviously we've got all different ages in this room, but maybe I'm just hitting that age, you know, that you begin to wonder how long you're going to be useful, how long you're going to be able to continue working, ministering, serving God in different ways. And yet, these verses, I find a great encouragement. Because Jesus said to Peter, he said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. What that tells me is that Jesus had a plan for Peter's life right up until his death. And then after that, Peter would be in heaven. And so his usefulness didn't just extend until he, you know, hit 65 or, you know, whatever the new retirement age might be. Yeah, Jesus was saying that, Peter, you are going to be able to glorify God continually, all the way up until you breathe your last. And that is an encouraging thing to know. I'm just going to finish off with the last verse there, verse 25. Jesus did many other things as well. And he's talking about the whole book of John, not just this chapter. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. The last verse in the book tells us that Jesus did many other things, and he continues to do many other things. We are actually part of an ongoing story. Yeah, when we read the Acts of the Apostles, yeah, or as some people say, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, God continues to work. God continues to grow people up, and He continues to use us. So we're part of that ongoing story. We have our own story to tell. And we have the privilege of telling others of what Jesus has done for us and also for them. So just as we finish, are you struggling this morning because of your own guilt? Because of your own shame? Because of the things that you feel like maybe are keeping you from knowing God or from knowing other people? Do you feel like God couldn't use you? Do you feel like maybe you're at a stage in life where you're becoming useless and you're sitting on the shelf? This chapter tells us that all of those things, all of those feelings that we might have, are not true. That God does love us. He loves us just as we are. And as we saw with Peter, we need to run to Him to experience that forgiveness. And that He has given us something to do, even in our weakness, even as we fail, He gives us something to do. And that usefulness continues on right until we die. And then we get all of the blessings of heaven. So be encouraged with what God is doing in your life and what we saw that God did in Peter's life.